This is the brief lesson of Nachyomi for Tehillim Gimel, for Tehillim Chapter 3. We move on now to the third chapter of Psalms, the third kapitel Tehillim, which is a mizmor leDavid, a song which David sang, Bivorcho mipnei Avshalom beno, when he was fleeing Absalom Avshalom, his son. One of David's sons was Avshalom. We learned long ago in Nachyomi about Avshalom's rebellion against his father and how his father David had to flee and fled eastward, and the rest of the story. Radak tells us quite clearly that Tehillim is not written in chronological order, and therefore one should not look for any sequence here, at least not in the historical sense. There are events before Kapitel Gimel which happened before Avshalom rebelled, if we're going to interpret chapter 2 as being David's initial coronation and the opposition to it. And if we take the other approach, that it's a Melech HaMoshiach, so obviously it's something that happened long, long after, or will happen long, long after Avshalom's rebellion, there's no historical sequence. And throughout Tehillim, we will find various allusions to a number of historical events, some in David's lifetime, some afterwards. But there's no chronological sequence that we can determine. Chazal wonder about this strange conjunction, combination of a mizmor, a song, and fleeing from one son. David is on the run. He's on the run against his own son. As we will soon see, the great majority of the Jewish people are against him. What is he singing for? Indeed, when the scene is described back in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 15, the scene is described as follows: "V'David oleh v'ma'aleh hazesim oleh uvoche." David was going up Har Hazesim, running away from Yerushalayim, running eastward, and crying. That we understand. And Chazal asked the question: "Im boche lama mizmor v'im mizmor lama boche?" Is he crying or is he singing? Is he boche crying or mizmor is he singing? And there are various approaches that Chazal take. One is, David was told by the Navi, "Hineni mekim olecho ro'o mibeisecho." He was told to anticipate a evil son who was going to revolt against him, or an evil something that will happen to him. Doesn't say a son. So he figured, well, maybe it's going to be an Eved or a Nasin or a Mamzer. Maybe it's going to be an illegitimate son or some stranger who's going to rebel against me, and that stranger will never have pity on me. Once he saw it was his son rebelling, it was Avshalom, he figured, well, he'll rebel against me, but he'll have some kind of mercy. And therefore, he sang. There are other approaches. The Radak, however, gives us a derech hapshat, a simple meaning, and that is that this phrase, mizmor leDavid, this is not that David sang a mizmor. David said what he said as he was fleeing from Avshalom and he was upset. He was crying, as the pasuk says, oleh ubocheh. But these words eventually became part of the songs of the Beis HaMikdash, of the songs sung in the Holy Temple. That's why it's called a mizmor. Al shem shehoyu mizamnim bohem beveis HaMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash, long after we knew the happy ending to the story, we sang this as a song and continue to say to sing this as a song. And this is the song. Hashem mo rabu tzoroi rabim komim olo. There is a concept in studying Tanakh called a lead word, a light vort, a word which repeats itself again and again in several psukim and hints to you at the central core theme of these psukim. Here in Pasuk Beis, David says, Hashem mo rabu tzoroi. God, look how many enemies I have. Rabim komim oloi. Many stand up against me. In Pasuk Gimel, Rabim omrim lenafshi. Many say about me. And in Pasuk Zion, Lo ira me rivavos om. I will not fear the many who oppose me. So we have this word many in various forms, rabu, rabim, rabim, rivavos. This stresses the fact that David, as he was fleeing now, was in a distinct minority. Everyone was against him. It wasn't just Avshalom. It was everyone on the side of Avshalom. It was Amosa, David's own nephew, who was siding with Avshalom. It was Shimi ben Gera, who cursed and made fun of David as he was fleeing, who was against David. It was Achitophel. It was Doeg. Everyone was against David HaMelech. And this, of course, is why he was so upset. Hashem morabu tzoroi. God, look at how many enemies I have. Rabim komim oloi. Look how many are standing up against me. Rabim omrim lenafshi, ein yishu oso lo velohim selo. Many are saying about me, about my soul, about my life, there is no hope for him. Notice the word yishu oso rather than yeshua. Yeshua means salvation, hope, rescue. What is the yishu oso, the extra sofhei at the end of the word? Radak gives us a rule here, that when you have a word which is reinforced by the ending safhei, this means that to take the word and double it, increase it, expand it, magnify it. So that ein yeshu also means there's no hope whatsoever, not in this world, not in the next world, as the Radak puts it. Ein yeshu lo ba'olam hazeh, ve'ein yeshu also lenafsho la'olam habo. There's no hope for him whatsoever. And there are many places in Tanakh where we have this safhei ending. Tovosa, the Rosh Yosef. Niflesa, hechbesa, which always means, the Radak emphasizes, an extra sort of whatever the noun is. It's there's Ezra, or to me, which means help. There's Ezrosa, which means extreme, powerful help. Here too, there's Yeshua, there's help. We have lesser or greater help. For him, his enemies say, Ein Yeshua, so there's no way, shape, manner, or form of help. He has no help in God whatsoever. Why are they saying this? Well, they're saying this because they feel, David, he's a great sinner. Look what he did. He took Bathsheba, a married woman, and sent her husband Uriah to his death on the battlefield, and took the widow for a wife. As Chazal put it in the words of his enemies, the mouth of his enemies, Efshor Odom Sheshovo es Hakivso, for Horages Horoe. Is it possible for a person who has snatched and stole the little lamb and killed the shepherd, meaning he stole the wife and killed the husband? Yeshlo Teshua, can he possibly have any possible hope? Ein Yeshua Solo Velohim, he has no hope. Selah. And here for the first time in Tehillim we have the word Selah, which we will have again and again. What does the word Selah mean? Many Meforshim say that Selah means forever, meaning forever he will have no salvation. He will never be rescued. Ibn Ezra says that Selah means true. Ein Yeshua Selo Velohim, he'll have no rescue, no hope, no salvation. Selah, that's true. Radak suggests something else, which many subsequent Meforshim have adopted. that the word Selah is not a word which carries meaning. It doesn't mean forever or truthfully. But rather, it's related to the word Solu, which means to lift up. And it's instructions to the singers, sort of notes to the choir. And the notes to the choir say, when you reach this phrase, Selah, lift up your voice. Because until now, David's saying, oh my, what a terrible plight I am in. Rabu tzoroi, rabim, rabim, everyone's against me. Selah, now lift up your voice and read further, you who sing this song. V'hato Hashem mogen ba'adi, kvodi umeirim roshi. You, God, are my shield. You shield me. You are my kavod, my glory, my honor, and you lift up my head. Meaning, you have forgiven me my sin. The lesson of David, one of the great lessons of David's life, is the power of teshuva, the power of repentance. Something his enemies did not understand. They felt he was damned. He was doomed because he had sinned. But when David was confronted with the fact that he sinned, he admitted that he sinned and he repented. And that his enemies did not realize. And because he was repented, he repented. Therefore, God can be a shield for him and restore him to his glory and lift up his head so that he could be proud once again. And David continues, Koli el Hashem ekro, I will call out with my voice to God, Vaya'aneni, and literally, He has answered me, Mehar Kodesh. He has answered me from His holy mountain, or from the mountain of His holiness. And again, Selah, again, lift up your voice at this point. Radak says something here, again, something extremely helpful. Ekra is in the future. God, I will call upon you. Vaya'aneni is in the past, and He did answer me. I will call upon you, and you did answer me. What does that mean? Radak says that often in Tanakh you will find the future tense where it should mean the past. And it is when a person is really confident that he will be heard. He is so confident that he will be heard that it is to him as if he already heard, was heard. Koli el Hashem akro, I will pray to God, and He has already answered me. I can feel it in my bones. He has answered me, and He has answered me mehar kodesh, which could mean He has answered me from the holy mountain where the Beis Hamikdash is. David is fleeing to the east. He's on Har HaZeisim, and he's looking west, and he sees God's holy mountain and can already feel the divine succor, the divine help. Or it could mean heaven, Har Kodesh, Mi Yishkon Bahar Kodesh. Har Kodesh, the holy mountain, can be an allusion to God's abode in the heavens. And then David continues and says, Ani Shochavti Voishona. I lie down and I fell asleep. Normally, when a person is in trouble and he falls asleep, well, first of all, he has difficulty falling asleep, but when out of fatigue and exhaustion he falls asleep, he sleeps a disturbed sleep. His sleep is laced through with nightmares. And when he wakes up trembling and afraid from the nightmares which scared him. No, hekitzosi, I woke up normally. The words of Radak, Eineni nivhol, I wasn't frightened. Ka'odom ha'yoshen mitoch hatzorah, like most people who sleep when they are in deep, deep trouble. I was not that way. Ki Hashem yismecheni, because God supported me. And here there is a beautiful medrash, Medrash Tehillim, known also as Medrash Shochat Tov, is just itself a work of astounding beauty. And the medrash interprets this phrase. David says, I fell asleep, I woke up because God supported me. Falling asleep means I fell into a state when I was so depressed that I could not experience God. I could not experience Ruach HaKodesh. Ani shochavti min hanavuah, vo'ishono meirov HaKodesh. I lie down, meaning I put aside, I suspended, because of my despair, my prophecy. And I fell into a deep sleep, numbing my sensitivity, my spirit, my spirituality. However, I awoke, Hekitzosi, I woke up because of Chushai Ho'arki, Hashem supported me through Nosan Hanovi. Meaning, David felt that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, left him. And it left him because he was so frightened and so desperate and such despair, he was depressed. V'ruach HaKodesh eino shoro elo mitoch simcha. The Gemara Meseches Psochim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin tells us that when you're sad and depressed, you can't possibly experience God's Spirit. God's Spirit can only be experienced in the midst of simcha. And David had no simcha. But then when David realized that the schemes against him were thwarted by one of his allies, Hushai Ho'arki, who stayed behind and thwarted Achitophel's scheme. Achitophel advised Avshalom, attack your father now. Now he is weak and vulnerable. And Hushai Ho'arki said, no, not now. First gather together all of Israel, make sure you have all your ducks in order, and blah, 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 blah. Hushai was David's spy, David's plant in Avshalom's camp. And knowing that he had Hushai on his side, he woke up. Ki Hashem yismecheni, God supported me. God meaning the word of God as given to me by Noson Hanavi, who told me, Shmuel Beis, chapter Yud Beis, Gam Hashem he'evir chatosra, God has removed your sin. God has forgiven you. So David awoke from his spiritual slumber and felt, ah, now I feel God again. And therefore, lo irome divivosom asher soviv shosu oloi. I'm not going to be afraid even of these great multitudes, even of the fact that almost everyone's against me. I won't be afraid. Kumo Hashem hoshieni elokai. Now I'm going to switch to the commentary for the first time in this series of Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who wrote a beautiful commentary in German. We have it in Hebrew translation and an English translation, and of course I recommend it to you very, very highly. And here's how he deals with these last psukim. Kumo Hashem hoshieni elokai. God, arise, help me. Ki hikiso es kol oivai lechi. For you have struck all my enemies, all my foes upon the cheek. Cheek is a place where if you get your enemy on the cheek, you've broken his capacity to speak, to communicate. Shinei reshoim shibarta. You broke the teeth of the wicked. Now, in this pasuk, David HaMelech is asking God for power, for the power to smash and defeat his enemies, to chastise them, to punish them, to bring them to judgment, to humiliate them, to break their teeth, meaning to break their vicious might. That's what David is asking for here. But sometimes you don't have that power. You don't have all that power. And God does not smash the teeth of your enemies. And then what do you ask for? Next pasuk. Hashem HaYeshua. God will help me. How he will help me, whether it will be by smashing the cheeks and teeth of my enemy, I don't know. But one thing I do want, Al Amcha V'Chasecha Sela. Raise your voice, Sela. Al Amcha V'Chasecha. Whatever happens, God, give your blessing to your people. In the words of Rav Hirsch in English translation, Pasuk 9 is the recantation, the modification of the call to judgment which David voiced in Pasuk number 8. Now he says to God, I'm placing my hope in your hands, whether or not you, God, wish to help. And here in the words of Rav Hirsch, David merely prays that God might deign, D-E-I-G-N, to give his blessing to his people. Quote, may God bring about not that which seems best from the point of view of the individual, but whatever would bring a blessing to his people. God, I want to see things work out this and this way. I want you to smash the cheek and teeth of my enemies. But I know not always, God, do you take into account what I, a single individual, albeit David HaMelech, want. So therefore, God, do what's good for your people. Am Yisrael, Al Amcha V'Chosech HaSela. That's the priority in Pasuk 9, the concluding Pasuk of Perek Gimel. A beautiful thought by Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Next, we will move on to Tehillim chapter 4.